The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times and the News and Observer. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. On today's Armchair Traveler, we're going to start with enjoying 36 hours in, of all places, Raleigh, North Carolina. Yep, our state capital. Now, this article is part of the New York Times ongoing travel series. We've had many articles over the years. It's called 36 Hours, where writers share their weekend experiences at various locations. And our writer today is Ingrid K. Williams, and she is including photographs with her article taken by Mike Bellamy. Now, the article appeared in the March 26, 2026 issue of the New York Times. By the way, Ms. Williams is a former Triangle resident and has reported on North Carolina since 2010. She says she returns often for barbecue and biscuits. Well, who wouldn't? Well, anyway, let's begin with a photo caption as we take a look at 36 hours in Raleigh. It's got people walking through a park where pink blossoms are appearing on trees, and it goes on to state that a public art installation in the shape of an enormous ring rises from the grass, and obviously we're talking about the art museum. And so let's begin Ingrid's article, okay? Outdoorsy, sports-obsessed, and youthful. Raleigh anchors the Research Triangle, the central North Carolina region, that also encompasses Durham and Chapel Hill, as well as three major research universities. Many residents lament the suburban sprawl, and yes, you'll want a car to get around, but this progressive southern capital has plenty to entertain weekend visitors, including upgraded parks and greenways and a vibrant, walkable downtown packed with independent shops, galleries, and food halls. In recent years, the dining scene has leveled up with exciting openings in repurposed industrial areas and historic neighborhoods such as Five Points and Boylan Heights. But the biggest draw is a new public art installation at Dix Park. It took 3 weeks and the works of hundreds of local volunteers to construct and promises to spark joy in both young and old. So, as we continue on, Ingrid is recommending some key stops when you're visiting the Raleigh Triangle area. First up, Dix Park, a sprawling urban park on the grounds of a former psychiatric hospital with a new installation of giant trolls by the Danish sculptor-artist Thomas Dambo and an 18.5-acre adventure playground with multi-story climbing towers, corkscrew slides, and a sensory maze. I have two granddaughters that vouch for that. They recently enjoyed it with their other granddad, and so I'm glad they got to see it firsthand. The State Farmers Market with indoor and outdoor pavilions, a garden center, and specialty shops. That's the place to find collard and mustard greens, pecans in the shell, or for those of you who prefer, pecans in the shell, or a homemade cigar box guitar. One segment of the Capital Area Greenway system is on the list, and it's an urban trail network of more than 100 miles of paths cut through the Sculptor Park at the North Carolina Museum of Art, and it remains open while parts of the museum are under renovation. And then we have this place called Bolted Bread. It's B-O-U-L-T-E-D, a sensational bakery with an expanded selection of seasonal goodies on weekends alongside mainstays such as sugar-crusted morning buns and savory croissants. Now, let's get around Raleigh. As Ingrid writes, a rental car is the best way to navigate Raleigh, although downtown is walkable. There are also ride-hailing apps like Uber or Lyft, bus routes across the city, including a downtown circulator for $1.25. Amtrak trains arrive at Raleigh Union Station, where a new bus terminal opened last year serving the Greater Triangle region. And there's also those little scooters and bikes you can rent, electric bikes, electric scooters, and that they're also part of the downtown scene. Now, let's begin with a 36-hour itinerary. We start on Friday evening around 4 p.m., and we're going to be playing in an unusual park where a huge wooden carved troll leans against a tree and people are milling around. It's Dix Park. Hunting for giant trolls is the newest game visitors can play in Dick's Park since a larger-than-life family of five was installed in October, part of a global project by the Danish artist Thomas Dambo. Constructed from reclaimed wood, the towering trolls are hidden throughout this sprawling 308-acre park, which was formerly the grounds of a psychiatric hospital. Many boarded-up buildings remain. Most impressive is Mother Strongtail, that's the name of the troll, 645-foot tail made from Kentucky bourbon barrel staves, winds through a private grove, or winds through a private grove, I should say. So this is a huge troll. And after finding Daddy Birdeye, another troll leaning against a tree trunk, walk up the hill to Gibson Play Plaza. That's an 18.5-acre adventure playground. It opened in June last year. Features a sensory maze, a 30-yard-long swing set, water fountains, sand pits, and multi-story climbing towers with rope bridges, corkscrew slides, and lots more, and it's all free. Now, let's move on to 6 p.m. and experience an elevated meal. Every evening feels like a garden party beneath the twinkling lights on the covered patio at Aja, a new Mediterranean Levantine restaurant from the renowned chef Chidi Kumar that opened in Five Points in 2023. Now, you start with a pickle brine martini before digging into sweet potato masabaka. Then we have a rustic chickpea spread for $11, and then some plump fried anchovies for $15. Then there's lan tagine with pistachio rice for $33. Or if you wish, you can plan ahead to snag one of 16 seats for an omakase night at Lagana, a burger joint that opened in nearby 2024. Most nights, the narrow kitchen slings mash burgers and yucca fries. But a few nights a month, the chef, Louis Swain, delivers a surprise multi-course tasting menu. Past iterations, it featured okra tempura with pimento cheese, tuna najirai with sofrito ponzu, clam crudo, and barbecued quail and drunken tres leches cake, all for $175, but you get 15 courses and paired drinks with that deal. Now, on to the Rialto Theater, 8 p.m. Let's go to visit an old theater or a new bar, however you'd like to describe it. The current revival of the Rialto Theater began in 2023 when new owners took over the single-screen art house cinema that first opened in 1942. After a few upgrades and a splashy new cornflower blue facade, the theater again screens movies, independent films, cult classics, documentaries, but also added regular concerts that have ranged from bluegrass, jazz, country, and synth groups to a Neil Diamond cover band. If the nightly act isn't your jam, claim a stool at Stella's on West. That's a glitzy dive bar that opened in late 2024 next door to Lagana, with spinning disco balls, multicolored string lights, cow print couch, seasonal cocktails, and Pabst Blue Ribbon on tap. Well, time to go into Saturday morning. It's 9 a.m. We're going to stroll an artsy nature trail, and we have a headline that says people are walking on a curb-paved trail in a park with playground equipment. We call it the Reedy Creek Trail. The Capital Area Greenway System is a point of pride that has grown over the last 50 years into a sprawling urban trail network with more than 100 miles of walking, running, and biking paths from downtown to the outer suburbs. Park at the North Carolina Museum of Art to reach the Reedy Creek Trail. It's a greenway segment that cuts through the museum's 164-acre sculpture park, and by the way, entry is free. Now, while parts of the museum are closed for renovations through 2028, the park remains open with its trio of 18-foot monumental rings by the sculptor Thomas Sayer, and it's popular for photo ops. Then there are steel benches made from recycled prison cell bars by Alvin Frege and blooming dogwood trees. Now, people shop for flowers at a market, with one person holding a pair of tulips for our next stop. We're at the State Farmers Market. It's 11 a.m., so let's go meet the farmers. Allot at least a couple of hours for the State Farmers Market. It's a 75-acre site, open daily with indoor and outdoor pavilions, a garden center, restaurants, and specialty shops. Start with the outdoor farm stand selling collard and mustard greens, pecans in the shell, and fresh berries. On weekends, you'll most likely also find 3- and 4-string guitars handmade from old cigar boxes. They start from about $200 and are made by Tim Wall. He's there to gladly demonstrate how to play. And inside, you can browse shops selling meat and seafood, boiled peanuts, and edible specialties like frog. That's F.R.O.G, jam, and stands for fig, raspberry, orange, and ginger. Now, head over to the State Farmers Market Restaurant. Oh, you've got to stop there. A busy, no-frills spot serving all-day country biscuits with grits, red-eye gravy, and baskets of warm buttermilk biscuits that were voted best in the country. And the breakfasts run between $8 and $12. Then we have a display of vases, baskets, and other objects in a museum setting. It's the Gregg Museum of Art and Design. It's 1 p.m., so let's go revel in art and old-time amusements. On the edge of the North Carolina State University campus, the Gregg Museum of Art and Design exhibits textiles and Native American decorative arts from its own collection alongside contemporary exhibitions from regional artists. Entry is free. Now, current exhibitions include Stories Told by Breath, Native American Voices in North Carolina, featuring intricate works of pottery, printmaking, beadwork, multimedia, and carved wood from artists connected to the state, including Karina McMillan, Senora Lynch, and Joshua Adams. Now, if you have kids in tow, take them afterward to nearby Pullen Park, an old-timey amusement park founded in 1887 with a carousel, carnival games, a miniature locomotive, kiddie boats, and playgrounds. Ride tickets are just $2. 4 p.m., let's go shop for some local crafts and banned books. We begin an exploration of the resurgent downtown at a place called Art Space. It's a two-story art center with galleries and studios where you can meet working painters, ceramicists, sculptors, jewelers, and textile artists. Don't miss the bright murals by Anna Payne Rogers Privet Studio. Around the corner at Blackbird Books and Coffee in the Cobblestone City Market area, browse shelves dedicated to fantasy and banned books. Then walk over to Nashona, an Afrocentric boutique filled with sequin clutches, beaded jewelry, and bright patterned dresses designed by the owner, Lillian K. Daniel, or Daniele, I should say, and made in Tanzania. Next door at the Copperline Plant Company, you can shop for pastel planters and sage-scented candles. Then go find local souvenirs at Deco Raleigh with a gift shop packed with watercolor prints of North Carolina State's Reynolds Coliseum and Carolina Hurricanes branded beer koozies. Now, people gather by an outdoor fire pit at 6 p.m. It's called the Altered State Brewing Company as we crawl through North Raleigh Brewery, starting there. Head northeast of downtown to sample a distinctive trio of homegrown breweries. Beer drinkers tired of trend toward increasingly heavy, dank IPAs will delight in Edit Beer Company. This family-run craft brewery, a 15-minute drive from downtown, specializes in easy-drinking lagers and crisp West Coast-style IPAs. The spacious tap room opened 3 years ago with arcade games, ample seating, and 20 brews like All Lanes Clear, a piney West Coast IPA on draft. Fans of fruit smoothies will love Fungi's Brewing, a mom-and-pop operation run by Carly and Nick Brango that's known for its smooth sickles, such as Boardwalk Breakfast, a thick orange and vanilla-flavored sour. There's also fruit on the menu at the Altered State Brewing Company, a friendly suburb serving serving blackberry kettle sours, a kind of tart beer, alongside rich brandy and hazelnut stouts. Now it's 8:30 p.m. Let's dine at an influential counter. Now, few chefs have such an outsized influence on a city's scene as Ashley Christensen does in Raleigh. Today, her first restaurant, Pool's Diner, is a landmark in a former pie shop dating to the 1940s. The upscale diner recently expanded into the neighboring building, adding a bright main dining room and more seating. But the coziest spot is still a seat at the original double horseshoe-shaped counter, sampling mainstays off the chalkboard menu, like roast chicken with whipped potatoes for $32, a cheesy brulee bowl of macaroni au gratin for $18. If all the bar stools are full, just walk over to St. Roach Fine Oysters and Bar for crawfish hush puppies for $9, or to Figulina for a handmade pasta run, both are run by Pool's alumni. Now, we move on to Sunday, and it's Sunday morning at 8 a.m. as we sample some sensational pastries. We have people gathered in a bakery cafe called the Bolted Bread, and We see a mural by Gabriel Ingoetz, or Goetz, I should say, in downtown Raleigh as we make this trip. Arriving early at Bolted Bread means shorter lines, yes, but also that the sugar-crusted morning buns, persimmon jam pinwheels, and dense loaves of Nordic rye will still be warm from the oven. In 2023, this popular bakery relocated to a larger industrial space in Boylan Heights, but it still gets packed, especially on weekends, when there's an expanded selection of seasonal goodies like rhubarb croissants, lemon jasmine tea leaf cake or tea loaf cakes, and purple potato and feta quiches. Of the items that are always in the case, the best is the shatteringly flaky croissant filled with nutty Gruyere and Benton's Hickory Smoked Country Ham, all for $6.50. 9 a.m., let's take a hike through the woods. One of the most scenic places to walk off breakfast is William B. Umstead State Park. Spanning over 5,000 acres of forested hills, lakes, and streams 10 miles northwest of downtown. With about 35 miles of hiking trails, there's plenty to choose from depending on your mood and fitness level. From the Crabtree Creek entrance, park near the visitor center to review the options, or set out directly from there on Sal's Branch Trail, a moderately strenuous 2.8-mile loop through the woods that descends to Big Lake for a stretch before winding back to the trailhead, and it's all for free. Then we can garnish at noontime, lunchtime again, a tray of southern-style barbecue with ribs, various sides, and a tall ice drink with a lemon wedge garnish. And so we're going to taste the local cue as we visit Sam Jones Barbecue. It would be a shame to leave North Carolina without trying one of the state's signature styles of barbecue, either Eastern style, that's whole hog smoked over wood in a peppery vinegar-based sauce, or Lexington style, a smoked pork shoulder and a vinegar ketchup sauce. Now, for the former, go to Sam Jones Barbecue, a barbecue joint owned by a third-generation pitmaster whose granddad founded the now legendary Skylight Inn Barbecue in Aden. That's about 90 miles east of Raleigh. Now, at this location, which opened a few years ago, try the Jones family original barbecue tray with slow-smoked barbecue pork served alongside cornbread and a heaping side of slaw for $12.99, and wash it all down with a tall glass of sweet tea for $2.99. So there you go. A trip to the state capitol and enjoy all the accoutrements that go with that, huh? Well, from Raleigh, we're now going to head west to read about the North Carolina Railroad that couldn't be built in the last section to reopen after Helene. Richard Stradling's article appeared in the March 26, 2026 issue of the Raleigh News and Observer. And we're going to begin with a brief photo caption, photo taken by Kevin Keister. And it says at least 139 workers died over 4 years of forced labor to build one of the Old Fort Loops through the Swannanoa Gap in the late 1800s, connecting train service to Asheville, North Carolina. Hurricane Helene wiped out much of the tracks, but Norfolk Southern will soon send trains up the repaired line, which climbs the Eastern Continental Divide in the Blue Ridge Mountains. So, and then we have a subhead that gives us a little more about this silenced North Carolina Railroad restored. The remnants of Hurricane Helene demolished tracks belonging to three railroads in western North Carolina in 2024. And soon, trains will travel again on the last 15 miles of track to be restored. This is the story of how the Norfolk Southern Railroad line, known as the Old Fort Loops, was built 145 years ago and is now rebuilt after the destructive storm. So here we go now. A freight train will soon pass over the Eastern Continental Divide near Old Fort for the first time since Hurricane Helene slammed western North Carolina a year and a half ago. The train will snake through a series of tunnels and switchbacks built more than 145 years ago, up and over a gap in the mountains once thought impossible to conquer by rail. The straight line distance up the mountain from near Old Fort to Swannanoa Gap is about 3 miles. The Old Fort Loops, as this section of railroad is known, twists and turns for 9 miles before emerging from the final tunnel at Ridgecrest. That rugged mountain terrain made the rail line especially vulnerable to Helene, which dropped 2 feet or more of rain on the mountain in a matter of hours. Landslides and flooding destroyed tracks belonging to three railroads throughout that region. The Old Fort Loops proved the most challenging to rebuild and will be the last to reopen. And they have a map here of how these loops did. And the map caption says the Old Fort loops were built by the Western North Carolina Railroad in the late 1870s to gradually climb the Blue Ridge Mountains. The loop takes about 9 miles to cover a straight line distance of about 3 miles. Alan Johnson, as we return to the order, who oversaw the rebuilding as Norfolk Southern's chief engineer for design and construction, said when he walks along the tracks that sometimes double back on themselves, he appreciates what it took to build the Old Fort loops in the 1870s. "It's just an engineering marvel," Johnson said. "Just stand up on those loops, look down, it's just mind-blowing. You've got to remind yourself that you're looking at the same track." And then we have another image that we want to read here. It's the Swannanoa Tunnel. It's been passed down for generations, sung to banjo and guitar by white country and folk musicians. And there's a recording that goes with this song by Durham's William Love from 1939. It's the only known recording by a black man using the original rhythm of hammer blows by the black workers who built the tunnel. And so there's a picture of that, and so it's kind of an interesting read there. Now we go back to the story. Beyond engineering, it took the labor of thousands of men to dig the tunnels and embankments, fill the ravines, and lay the ties and rails. And in recent years, it has emerged that most of these men were black prison inmates, many arrested on made-up charges in the eastern half of the state and sentenced to build the railroad without pay. At least 139 workers died over 4 years of forced labor, a toll recognized by two Stone Mountain monuments erected along the route in 2021 and 2023. It's likely the deaths of the many more workers were never recorded, says Dan Pierce, a retired history professor at UNC Asheville, who helped lead an effort to place those monuments. The railroad transformed western North Carolina. The first train through Swannanoa Gap reached Asheville on October 2, 1880. Almost immediately, people began pouring into the mountains. The population of Asheville nearly quadrupled over the next decade, and by 1900, the city was the third largest in North Carolina, after Wilmington and Charlotte. "I always say it was the most important infrastructure project in the history of Western North Carolina," Pierce said. "It transformed Western North Carolina virtually overnight. It just opened up all sorts of development." And they got a picture here of them working on repairing this railroad bridge. It's called Norfolk Southern's AS Line. It's near Old Fort and east of Asheville. And this picture was taken on February 9, 2026, so not so long ago. It's a 15-mile section of track, includes a series of remote tunnels and horseshoe curves, climbs and descends the Eastern Continental Divide, and, of course, among the many areas severely damaged by the remnants of Hurricane Helene. So, let's go back to the story. People had been following the creeks up through the Swannanoa Gap since before the first Europeans arrived. The paths blazed by Native Americans later became narrow dirt roads for buckboard wagons and stagecoaches. But the Blue Ridge Escarpment, the mountain face that divides east from west, was considered too steep for railroads. In 1837, lawmakers in Raleigh set a goal of building a railroad line from one end of the state to the other. That policy was reaffirmed in 1855. It was a feat that many thought would never happen, says Steve Little, the longtime mayor of nearby Marion, who wrote a book about the Old Fort loops called Tunnels, Nitro, and Convicts Building the Railroad That Couldn't Be Built. "There were many members of the North Carolina legislature who said, 'That's crazy. You can't go up that mountain,' Little said. 'Not that we don't want to, but you can't do it. It can't be done. It's a waste of money.' The engineering and the human cost of building the railroad make it the most historic and exciting in the United States," Little says. 2 weeks after Helene, he drove as far as he could west of Old Fort to see what the storm had done to the Old Fort loops. "It looked like a ride at the state fair," he said. "The tracks were up in the air 10 to 12 feet, twisted, and the dirt underneath them gone. And trees, well, they were everywhere, some of them under the rails." And he says, "I was thinking, can this even be fixed?" Little was thrilled when Norfolk Southern committed to rebuilding the tracks and looks forward to freight trains rumbling past his law office in Marion once again. He's also hopeful that Amtrak and the North Carolina Department of Transportation will decide to run passenger trains to Asheville through the gap for the first time since 1975. Asheville is the most requested rail destination in North Carolina, not yet served by Amtrak, according to NCDOT, which published a study in January on the economic and tourism benefits of restoring passenger service to the mountains. Norfolk Southern hasn't set a date for the first train through the Old Fort Loops, but spokeswoman says it should be sometime in early April. So we've got a lot to look forward to as we head to the western part of the state to see the rebuilding from Hurricane Helene. How about let's wrapping up with an interesting article here that titled Six Destinations for a Cheaper Summer Vacation. Natalie B. Compton is the writer, and her article appearing in the March 27, 2026 issue of the Washington Post. And booking a summer vacation is a lot like planting a tree, she writes. The best time to do it was ages ago. Well, that's good advice. Second best time, well, right now, with apologies to your wallet. Katie Nastro, a travel expert with the Flight Ideal website, or Flight Deal website, Going, said the company compared domestic airfare for this summer with last, and no surprise, fares are up, and latest reports are they keep going up. And she have confirmed this by email. International airfare is running higher as well. The war in Iran is causing oil prices to surge, leaving airlines with some of the highest fuel costs in years. That's meant higher ticket prices for travelers, particularly those booking anytime soon. Banking on last-minute deals in the summer is foolish to begin with, Nashville said. This year, it is exponentially more foolish the longer oil stays elevated. High prices aren't stopping many travelers. Travel agents say their clients are still booking trips regardless of surging airfare, so the demand for the usual suspects remains high. I think people are taking a little bit of a YOLO approach and being like, okay, well, the price is the price, or we're going, said David Hawkraven. He's the owner of Design Travel. YOLO, by the way, you only live once. But you may still be able to swing something affordable this summer, he adds. No, not the Amalfi Coast in July, but they do have some cheaper alternatives. First of all, Portugal. While airfare to travel there is comparable to visiting its Mediterranean neighbors, Portugal is one of Hawkraven's best value destinations in Europe, thanks to its lower cost of living. Both its capital, Lisbon, and the smaller, slightly cooler Porto up north offer so much to do, and the hotel prices and costs for lunch and dinner are far more reasonable than many other European destinations, he said. To add in a beach, Hawkraven recommends flying into or driving 3 hours from Lisbon to Portugal's southern coast, the Algarve, where you'll find some great value resorts, he said. For a secluded escape, try the Segur Point on the southwestern tip of the country. It's a very little beach town that's quite fun for a more removed, I don't really want culture, I just want beach vacation, he said. Now, we move on to Panama on the list for a trip closer to home. Panama can be a really great value for beaches, Hawkraven said. Your dollar goes pretty far there and a lot of selection. While flights remain high, travelers from the U.S. should be able to find round-trip airfare to the Central American country for about $500 to $700. And if you'd like some time in the capital, you can be in a luxury hotel for $200-$300 a night and have access to the beach, Hawkraven said. But don't miss the islands. Hop on an hour flight to Bocas del Toro, a Caribbean archipelago, and province in northwestern Panama known for its beaches and nightlife. Also on the list, the Dominican Republic. Jose Antonio Cruz, the owner of Snow and Sand Vacations, is a fan of the Dominican Republic for clients, he says, for clients of all ages and budgets. Then we have the Northwest Arkansas. Tarika Haynes, owner of Dynamite Travel, calls Northwest Arkansas accessible from the Northwest Arkansas National Airport, an outdoor lover's paradise. And finally, Estonia. It's not the first country that may come to mind as an American traveler, but it's a great summer Eastern European visit. So there you go. Lots of fun to plan ahead. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Armchair Traveler. Hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us again next time. I'm Mike Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, reminding you the content of the program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.